Good evening. Welcome to the Central Fork City Council. Today, Monday, March 9, 2026, at 6:01. City clerk, please roll record.
Okay. Councilperson Liana?
Here.
Councilperson Kazarian?
Here.
Councilperson Figuero?
Here.
Councilperson Rosado Martinez?
Here.
Councilperson Solano? Mm-hmm. Council President Pro Tempore Rivas Lugo?
Present.
And Council President Ferry?
Deciding in the agenda?
Yes.
Please stand for the prayer of allegiance. Public comment is open.
Public comment?
Public comment is open. The first person registered for talk is Alicia Pratt.
Hello, counselors. Oh, I don't know if this is on, but you can hear me.
Yes.
I'm Alicia Pratt, and I'm here representing the Coalition for a Multilingual Rhode Island. And I'm here to talk a little bit about the resolution for the Supporting Access to Bilingual Education Act. We asked Councilor Baena to introduce this resolution because we believe that the time to make an investment in our programs and teachers is now. Central Falls has the largest MLL population in the state, and our MLL population in Rhode Island is actually the fastest growing in the nation. So we know that we need programs that best serve all students, but specifically underserved groups like our MLLs, and dual language programs do that. For those of you that are not familiar, but I think you all are, dual language programs allow students to become biliterate and bilingual, allowing them to retain their home language if you have a home language or heritage language, while also learning English, and they help foster more social, emotional, and cognitive benefits, but also academic benefits. And as we see our workforce become increasingly globalized, this gives students a competitive edge when they're applying for jobs, because we know that 9 out of 10 employers, not just in Rhode Island, but all across the nation, are looking for bilingual employees, and they earn an average between 5 to 20% more than their counterparts. So I just urge you to pass this resolution because it will create a grant that will be right administered that your district could apply to in order to expand the programs that exist already in Central Falls, or if there's a school that doesn't have an existing program, it would allow them to have the money for the startup cost for these programs because these programs do become cost neutral after the original startup cost. And also allow for scholarships for our educators to staff these programs, investing in the multilingual adults that already are here in Rhode Island and want to be in the classroom but have faced financial or pathway barriers. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Next person is Jonathan De Jesus. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Jonathan De Jesus. I'm the Community Policy Advocate for Progreso Latino. At Progreso Latino, our mission is to help Rhode Island's Latino and immigrant communities achieve greater self-sufficiency and socioeconomic progress by providing transformational programs that support personal growth and social change. Progreso Latino testifies in strong support of the SABE Act legislation. Progreso Latino offers English language classes for community members who receive our social services and are often working with multilingual families. We have seen the role that children often play as translators and understand that there are fundamental flaws in the capacity of our public educators to adequately meet the unique educational needs of the children in our urban core. Almost all of our staff is fluent in Spanish because we live and operate in multilingual communities. We believe that the solution to this begins with the bandwidth and recognition for teachers to give them the financial tools in order to become accredited in multilingual education. Recognizing the diversity that already exists in the state of Rhode Island, including the linguistic diversity of our educators and professionals, we believe that there exists the human capacity to meet these linguistic needs, especially for immigrant children and children of immigrants. Public educators are some of our greatest unsung heroes, and we should be doing everything in our power to give them the necessary tools to teach our diverse communities. This act also provides the incentive for schools to start, improve, and expand dual language education in K-12 schools for all students, regardless of whether they are English-speaking or multilingual. This initiative will place language as an asset, making sure that our students are prepared to operate in an increasingly globalized world. Research shows that students who speak more than one language greatly outperform their peers in the classroom and the workforce setting. It is our hope that with your support of the Cyber Act legislation, would appropriate $950,000 so schools will have the resources to give students a vast array of multilingual education. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
For the record, Mr. Kerr, Councilman Solano arrived at 6:06. Thank you. Next person is the Senator Jonathan Acosta.
Thank you, Mr. President. Honorable members of the council, I want to start by thanking you for your service. I'm Jonathan Acosta, 100 Illinois Street, State Senator for District 16 here in Central Falls. And if you have a timer, I suggest you start it so that you get really passionate about this. So I want to express my gratitude for your consideration today of a resolution in support of my legislation around the school funding format. And so if you'll bear with me on a brief kind of historical public policy lesson here, I'll take you back in time just a few years ago, where if you looked at the enrollment data for the Central Falls School District, you see a pretty stable hovering around the high 80s, low 90s in terms of the percent of students who live in poverty, which of course makes us the district with the largest concentration of poverty in the state, which probably doesn't come as a surprise to many people. But what might come to as a surprise to you is the different ways in which we operationalize that variable. And so there are two big buckets that qualifying as a low-income student matters for. One is the meals. And we'll talk about lunch forms in a second. Many of you grew up in an era where if you attended public school in the United States, at the beginning of every school year, you fill out a form that talked about your household income, and that form determined whether or not you qualify for free or reduced lunch. The second way in which being deemed low income is really important is as the student success factor. So it's almost universally recognized that it takes more material resources, more money, to educate a low income kid. And so in the state of Rhode Island, what we do is we say, a kid, call it X, costs X amount. A kid who is low income costs 1.4X. So you get 0.4 extra of a per pupil for every low income student enrolled in your school district. And that's a significant amount of money. I mean, we're talking almost half more of a per pupil. And so what happened is that several years ago, the federal government said that it wanted to abandon using lunch forms for school lunch eligibility. It simply deemed it too expensive. There was an entire bureaucratic infrastructure that existed in order to enroll people into these programs. And so the government said we would like every state to pursue direct certification pathways. Direct certification was just a fancy language for saying if you're enrolled in some other program for poor people, then you can automatically be enrolled in the food lunch program. And in a state like the United States, you would think we had a much better integrated data system. But the reality is that it's awful. It's a crazy spider web of numbers, and a lot of times people are miscounted and especially undercounted. So in its count of poor, low-income students, the federal government also recommended, and this has been true under Republican and Democratic administrations, that you use a multiplier effect. So you take the number that you are able to identify and you multiply by a little bit more in order to try to get closer to the actual number. Now what's happened? In the last few years, the number of low-income students in the Central Falls School District has fallen to about the mid-60s. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think a third of my neighbors have hit the lottery or all of a sudden climbed the socioeconomic ladder. It's ridiculous. What we know has happened
is that we are systematically undercounting poor kids in the state. And the reason is simple. A few years ago, Rhode Island, as a cop-out, said that as its direct certification measure, it was going to use SNAP enrollment. Now, if you know anything about being poor, there are many programs that you might qualify for. They all take a lot of paperwork, and SNAP just happens to be one of them. And so Rhode Island said, we're going to take SNAP enrollment and multiply it by a factor of 1.6, almost assuming that we're at least undercounting by almost a factor of 2, right? And they still, in most places, undercount. Now, Massachusetts, which is just next door, uses 5 direct certification pathways. You can be on SNAP, you can be on Medicaid, you can be in any type of housing assistance program. If you are homeless, you are automatically, and they still allow you to use the lunch form in Massachusetts. Rhode Island has committed to only using SNAP times a factor. Now, I knew this BS was coming. And so 3 years ago, when they considered this and shoved this down our throat, I wrote into the law that they had to give us Medicaid enrollment numbers, October of every year, just so we could see how close we were getting to more accurately counting poor kids. Over the last 3 years, thanks to the support of the Senate Fiscal Office and to their credit, we have shown that we are undercounting the number of poor students in our state, sometimes on the low end of 4,000 to 5,000, sometimes on the high end of 14,000 to 15,000 students, right? If a per pupil is somewhere in the 8,500 range at base, that's 15,000 kids whose school districts are getting roughly $4,000 less per kid every year in this state. And so my bill asks for something very simple, that we also include Medicaid in the eligibility pathway for direct certification for the Student Success Factor. Now, here's the thing. Some of you might wonder why this hasn't affected meals. And the federal government also recognizes the undercount. And so what's happened with the federal meals program is that once you cross the threshold of about 63.5%, then the entire school is free lunch. They just don't want to deal with the extra bureaucratic mess. And so for now, we haven't had a meal problem in the city. But we have had a systematic underfunding of poor kids in the city for at least 2 years. And the problem is not unique to Central Falls. This is why I'm glad you're one of the first ones to answer this call, but every single city council in this state and town council should be having this conversation. Because of every traditional public school district in the state, every single one, with the exception of one, Woonsocket, is undercounting poor kids. Even with their 1.6 multiplier factor to SNAP enrollment, every single district in the state undercounts poor kids except Woonsocket. That is over $1 million in Warwick, in Cranston, in West Warwick, in Providence. So while I thank you, I hope you're also talking to other people, because this is not a CF-specific issue, right? This is a statewide issue. You'll note, and I'll say this recognizing full well that it can come off as a little arrogant, I have not looked down or used any notes, because I've been fighting over this issue for the last 3 years. These numbers and these problems are cemented into the back of my head. And whenever I talk about them, I have people from the state and from city councils quietly come up to me and say, oh, this is wrong. What can we do about this? Well, I've been telling you. So just do something about it. We need to do something about it. I don't know why this isn't a bigger story, why people aren't angrier about this, but I'm so grateful to y'all for taking the first step in addressing it, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Nobody is registered for public comment. Now public comment closed.
Okay. Item.
Next item in the agenda, please.
Item 4 on the agenda is approval of records for the minutes from February 9th, 2025.
Thank you. Will my colleague review the other minutes the clerk sent? Okay, anyone have any questions about it?
Mr. President, Mr. Solicitor, I did have a question. We did amend the minutes. Do we need to introduce these amended minutes? Or?
What amended minutes?
The minutes that were sent to us originally were amended to these that we have in front of us now. Because they haven't been entered in the record, do we just kind of proceed, or should we introduce these amendment minutes?
I would say that the president could say, without objection, I'd like to note that we have made several corrections to the minutes that were originally sent out, and what's before the council now is what will be voted on, and if no one objects, he can bang the gavel and then call for a vote.
All right. Has the city solicitor say without objection, or if all the council members review the amended minute by the clerk office? With that say, I need the motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Councilwoman made the motion.
Sir.
Councilman Peguero second. With that say, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approved. Thank you. Okay. All right, with that say, anyone have question for the update minute? If not, anyone has question, now I need a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Councilman Solano made the motion.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Cruzado Martinez second. With that say, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Approved. Okay. Thank you. Next item in the agenda.
Okay, next item on the agenda is item 5, executive communications. It's the Department of Financial Reports for February of 2026 from the City Clerk's Office, Department of Public Works and Court Department, Fire Department, and Police Department.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Anyone have a question about the final report? Or any? Yes or no?
I have a question.
You have the question, Councilman?
Yeah, right. I do. What I noticed, Central Fort Fire Department, I noticed, I just want to clarify this. I see a fund review, it said 100, and then it said 3, and that's, it should be a 300. So, and it said 969. So I just want to understand why it's...
Do you mention about the plus symbol after the 100?
I think it's more than 100, so it's like 100 plus.
Yes, maybe.
Okay.
But we don't know what the exact fee is.
All right. I suggest maybe the chief of staff can take the note, and she can double check with the finance department, and they can come back to you with this answer.
Absolutely.
That's fine. Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'll follow up with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, chief of staff. With that said, no more question or comment. I need a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Councilman Casaria made the motion. Councilwoman Rosado Martinez second. With that say, all in favor say aye.
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 Motion pass.
Motion pass. Next item on the agenda is item 6, executive communications. It's the new business. City Council sitting as the Board of License Commissioners, we have a hearing or consideration of possible action regarding the following license and license holders: Antonio Riveri, representing Paradise Lounge LLC, DBA Paradise Lounge, located at 200 Cross Street, Central Falls, Rhode Island 02863, holding a Class BV license. Mr. Riveri, should this happen today?
Hello, Mr. Roberta. You can say your name, please.
Excuse me. Let me just make sure that this is on.
Antonio Roberta.
Thank you. Welcome to the Central Fort City Council. Do you want to start with any brief about the issue to us?
Yes, I have the cops came to my business like a couple of times. First time I called in, I needed help. My security guard was in there tonight, and I didn't know it goes against me. And I do not serve liquor after the hour, like they said. I come closed by 1 o'clock. I have my receipts here. A lot of them, my cash register was closed.
Okay, and do you say, for be clear, for the record, that night you don't have the security guy is not there?
Yeah, it was in there, it was sick.
Okay, question, and do you not have plan when anyone or your staff can be there? You don't have other security can be there for be prepared for anything happen?
Yes, I got that plan already.
Already, but not in the past?
Not in the past.
Okay.
I
I'd like to offer as well. We have Major Carroll here from CFPB.
Perfect. Okay. Anything you want to say before any question from us to you?
I just apologize, I was a couple of minutes late after the hour because I was by myself trying to kick everybody out, you know. There were 40, 50 people drunk. It's kind of tough just myself, but now I have my security staff in order, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And when you staff sell alcohol under the counter, they no cashing when the customer are drunk already, and they know how many alcohol they serve to them, and they can stop it to sell more alcohol.
Yes, I stop 12:45. I stop serving.
Okay, that's the protocol. Always do you follow?
Yes.
Okay.
I have receipts here that my cash register closes at 12:59 every time.
Okay, perfect. Any question for now for Mr. Roberts?
I think it would be helpful
from the police. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Major Carroll on behalf of the police department.
Welcome.
The police department responded to Mr. Roberts' bar on 124-26, 125-26, 131-26, 27-26. Every single time, as Mr. Roberti's did admit, there were people in his bar after closing. The first time was 1:30, second time was, I believe, the same thing, 1:30. Third time was 1:18, fourth time was 1:30. Every single time the officers went there, people, and Mr. Roberti's admit saying that he did not serve any alcohol after 1 o'clock. He didn't ring anything up. But that doesn't mean that 5 minutes of 1 or 12:45, as you said, you served alcohol to someone and it was still on the bar. Every single bar in the city has the same protocol. 12:45, last call. 1 o'clock, lights on. 1:10, at that point, you should be basically telling everybody you have to leave. 1:15, every single person out of that bar that does not work in that establishment. The last time Mr. Roberti's called on 27 was that he had asked people to leave and they refused. I understand it is the police department's job to make sure that these situations do not escalate, but ultimately it comes down to it is Mr. Roberti's responsibility as the business owner and the license holder. Mm-hmm. I understand he does have a security officer that wasn't present on those days. The police department is not looking to hurt Mr. Roberti's business in any way, shape, or form. However, we have to have the protocol in place for every single business to act appropriately in every single situation. And one person falling out sick should not negate that. The police department's recommendation, and if the solicitor would allow it, we don't want to instill details on the establishment. We don't want to take money out of your pocket by asking the council to close your business on a Friday or Saturday night. But what we're asking for is a 3-month probationary period during which you will be given a chance to make sure that there are no issues in your establishment. And none of these reports are saying that you've had any fights or anything like that. It's just that you have to learn the protocol and make sure that everybody is out of that business, because ultimately it comes down to your responsibility. So the police department this time is asking for a 3-month probationary period. I would like to note, I worked this past weekend, Friday evening into Saturday morning and Saturday into Sunday morning. The bar was checked on both occasions. There were no issues at this time. We're hoping that this is not going to happen again, and this is the last time that I have to see you in this light. So if we can request a 3-month probationary period, and then at that point, we'll obviously continue doing our random checks that we do to every single bar in the community to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor Carroll. Okay. With the Mayor Carroll say, just I want to recommend to you by myself, by the President Pro Tem for this council, please follow all the rules or the protocol they recommend to you. Hire more people for the security. Yeah. When you know how one, you can have the other ones. No sell alcohol after the time. And follow all the protocol, because we're here for helping you and assisting to you in anything you need by business. But we need to follow the protocol and the safety for the community. That's the first thing, okay? That's everything I want to say. I don't know if any of my colleagues want to say something. Just a specific.
Thank you, Mayor.
I just wanted to concur with Major Carroll and say that, as we talked about on many occasions, this council, sitting as the licensing authority for the city, has the authority to discipline, suspend, or revoke the liquor license for owners in the city, but we are subject to the appeals and the authority of the Department of Business Regulation. And we've seen time and time again, they've come back to cities and towns and said, you have to have what's known as progressive discipline, which means the discipline that you subject the licensee to must fit the offense. You can't go from, like, I don't think Mr. Pavertis has had an offense in the last couple of years, as far as I know. So if this is a first offense in front of the council, you can revoke his license, but DBR would overturn that pretty quickly. So I think what Major Carroll offered is a good first step. Mm-hmm. It meets that definition of progressive discipline. I would just add one caveat, which is if you were to make a motion for a 90-day probation period, to also add that if he's found to violate the law in those 90 days, that the punishment would be at least a one-day closure. Because that would be, I think, an appropriate next step. It should be in motion.
All right. Thank you, City Solicitor, for this. Anyone?
Mr. Robertis, thank you for coming in and for owning, right, your piece of things.
Yes.
Right. I think my colleague, President Pro Tem Ribas, was very clear in terms of security.
Yes.
Right. And I agree with that. I think that, you know, everyone should have a plan B. And, you know, in times where one person can't come, someone else should fill in. And that way, I mean, you mentioned it, right? You tried to do it yourself.
Yes.
And it's a little tough, especially dealing with drunk people,
yes.
Right? And so you want to make sure that you're covering yourself. Now, you understand what we're talking about, right? 3 months probation, and then if that's violated, you would have 1 day where we would need to close, if
okay.
That's what my colleagues decide, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so just want to make sure,
yes.
Because it is, you know, we don't want to hurt your business either, but we do have to maintain the laws of the city,
yes, of
right?
Yes.
You understand? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're not done. Hold on.
No, no. Thank you, Councilwoman. Anyone else? All right. Any of Colino have question or comment? I must be. I recommend the 3 month prevention for this business. How the city already says, if they don't follow the rule, it's 1 day of suspension. With that said, I need a motion.
I need the motion.
Councilwoman Rosario Martinez made the motion.
Second.
Councilman Peguero second. With say, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. And good luck.
Aye, thank you.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Item 3 on the agenda is hearing and or consideration of tax abatement submitted by the tax assessor.
Okay.
Good evening. Unfortunately, the tax assessor is unavailable today due to a personal conflict. And so he is not here and available to answer questions at this time.
Yes.
I would just say that both of the items on your agenda for the tax abatements were decisions that were rendered by the Board of Appeals, and so they're largely not capable of being changed because it was rendered by an official board of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just looking for your stamp of approval on both of those settlements.
All right. Thank you for the clarification. Okay. With that said, anyone agree? Anyone have any question?
No, I would just say they seem pretty standard.
Yes.
And so I would make the motion.
All right.
To approve
them. Councilwoman Biden made the motion. Councilman Peguero second. With that say, all in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Next item in the agenda, please.
Next item on the agenda is a schedule of bills slash hearing and consideration, A, B, and a resolution supporting the support and access to bilingual education, Act H7389 and S25559, introduced by Councilperson Baena.
Thank you.
Thank you. So as Alicia mentioned earlier, you know, we're introducing this act actually in partnership with Councilwoman Rosario Martinez, so thank you for that. Central Falls is one of the most linguistically diverse communities in Rhode Island. Many of our students grow up speaking more than one language, and that should be seen as an asset, not a barrier. Research also consistently shows that strong bilingual and dual language programs improve academic outcomes, increase graduation rates, and support long-term economic mobility. Yet across the state, only a very small percentage of teachers currently hold bilingual or ESOL certifications, which means that districts like ours often struggle to recruit and retain the educators that we need to support our multilingual learners effectively. So the SABE Act would invest in building a stronger pipeline of bilingual educators and expanding dual language programming. And for communities like Central Falls, that investment would have a direct impact on student success. So all in all, this resolution supports legislation that would create a fund to increase the number of bilingual and dual language educators in Rhode Island, which is not only an investment in our students, but our workforce and then the future of our state. So I'd really appreciate your support in passing this resolution.
Thank you, Councilwoman Baena. With that say, I need a motion to approve.
I make the motion.
You want to say something, Councilwoman? Okay. Okay, Councilman Peguero made the motion. Councilman Solano second with a say. Roll call, Mr. Kirk.
Okay. The roll call for the votes. Councilperson Baena?
Yes.
Councilperson Peguero?
Yes.
Councilperson Peguero?
Yes.
Councilperson Rosado Martinez?
Yes.
And Councilperson Solano?
Yes.
And Council President Pro Tempore,
yes. Motion passed. Thank you.
Next item here is a resolution in supporting an act relating to education, the Equity and Property Tax Relief Act, which is S226 and H7454, introduced by Councilperson Baena.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this resolution supports the Equity and Property Tax Relief Act, which, as you heard from Senator Acosta earlier, it addresses a technical but really important issue in Rhode Island's education funding formula. So as you may know, our state relies on a foundation formula that provides additional resources for students experiencing poverty through what's called the Student Success Factor. The challenge right now is that changes in federal reporting systems have made it harder for some communities to accurately count those students. And so as a result, districts serving high-need populations, including Central Falls, may not always receive the funding that fully reflects the realities facing our students and our families. So, for example, this change caused Central Falls School District's percentage of qualifying students to fall dramatically from 97% in FY23 to 71% in FY24, 69% in FY25, and now 63% in FY26, which is an effective loss of $4.15 million for the district for this year. And as someone who's worked in education finance and school systems, I've seen firsthand how important it is that funding formulas reflect the realities of our communities. Simply put, this resolution supports legislation that would improve the state education funding formula by allowing Medicaid enrollment to be used to more accurately identify students living in poverty. And I thank you all for your support in advance.
Thank you for the explanation, Councilwoman Baena. All right, with the Councilwoman say, I need a motion to approve.
Council President, I just wanted to add, because I've worked with Senator Acosta on this for a number of years as well at the State House, that there's a real discrimination element to this, because if you are not eligible for SNAP, but the district must educate you, mm-hmm. then, and you're poor, you're not counted. Mm-hmm. But if you are eligible for SNAP, and the district has to educate you, you are counted and reimbursed. So what I think about when I think about that is Burrillville has a very high poverty index, but not a lot of undocumented immigrants, which are not eligible for SNAP, right? Mm-hmm. So nearly 100% of their poor children are reimbursed. But as Senator Costa said, only 63% of ours are, because our kids aren't eligible for SNAP. So it's fundamentally an issue of discrimination.
Thank you for adding that.
Thank you. 0-0 All right, with that say, in the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Councilman Casaria made the motion. Councilwoman Rosado Martinez second. Please, Mr. Clerk, roll call.
Yes.
Council President Cabrera?
Yes.
Council President Rosado Martinez?
Yes.
Council President Solano?
Yes.
And Council President Pro Tempore Rivas Lugo?
Yes. Thank you. Next item, please.
Next item on the agenda is D. This is an ordinance regarding appeals of the Municipal Housing Court. First reading requested by Council President Rivas Lugo.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Cesar, do you want to add something about this ordinance?
Yes, Mr. President. This is part of the Law Department's work to constantly evolve our nuisance task force ordinance and our municipal housing court ordinance to reflect the practice and what happens in the courtroom. And so in a recent matter last year involving the old fire station across the street, 555 Broad Street, where the property owner had failed to keep their fire alarm plugged into the city's fire alarm detection system, putting the neighborhood and firefighters at risk. There was a nuisance declaration filed, but then we had a dispute as to when and how they could appeal that declaration. So this ordinance just says if you have a declaration of nuisance against your property, you have 20 days to file an appeal and how to do it, which was not stated clearly in the ordinance. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you for the explanation. All right. With that say, I need a motion.
I have a couple of questions, and also I just wanted to flag that we missed one of my resolutions before the ordinance, so if we could go back to that item after this one, that would be really great. The question I had, Mr. Solicitor, was about, sorry, there's a lot of documents in our packet, so I'm just looking for the actual page. It's Section 1820, where it just adds the recording with the land and evidence records, or land evidence records, not me. And then, like, can you just explain what that would do as opposed to what, you know, what was currently done in practice? Like, what's the difference?
Good question, Councilwoman. By adding the recording into the land evidence records, so what that is the official history of that property. It's located in the clerk's office. And if a property owner tries to sell their property and they get a title company to run title, they will come to the city hall, talk to the city clerk's office, and they will see that we've recorded this, and there will be a red flag in the transaction. And it'll slow it down enough that we can intervene and make our case that any debts owed to the city should be paid before sale.
Like a Carfax?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. And then the difference between action and declaration. So it's section, I wrote it, hold on, section 1822. The first part, so we're striking action, and declaration is the new word that we're using. I know you used that word earlier to describe what was happening, but I guess, like, that does that change? Like, what is the difference between action and declaration here?
So declaration refers specifically to the authority of the city to declare a public nuisance. So that's the declaration. Municipal action, as I read this ordinance, I thought, started thinking to myself, okay, if the nuisance task force meets and they request the property owner to come to a meeting, that's technically municipal action.
It's like too broad.
It is so broad, they could appeal literally any decision under the sun. So we really wanted to limit the appeal to just the declaration of nuisance.
That makes sense. And then for the 20 days, is that standard?
That is standard.
Okay, thank you.
Any other question? All right, no more, no any more question. I need a motion. Councilman Solano made the motion.
I'll second that.
Councilman Casares second. With the say, please roll a call.
Council President Mayana?
Yes.
Council President Gazarian?
Yes.
Council President Cabrera?
Yes.
Council President Rosado Martin?
Yes.
Council President Solano?
Yes.
Council President Pro Tempore Angel
Hugo? Yes.
I apologize, I'm going to go back. I skipped over. I don't see another resolution.
That's fine.
I'm going to go back to that. a resolution of supporting the Rhode Island Community Protection Act S2608 and H7211, introduced by Councilperson Mayana.
Thank you, City Clerk.
Thank you. So this is the third and final resolution for today. Thank you all for your patience. The Rhode Island Community Protection Act, essentially what it does is it prohibits law enforcement agents from wearing masks, you know, when they're enforcing either immigration or any other sort of law within the state. And, you know, it's not about limiting the ability of law enforcement to do their jobs at all. In fact, this bill explicitly recognizes the need for safety exceptions, including undercover operations, medical masks, and high-risk situations, and it reinforces a basic principle of democratic governance, which is that when government authority is exercised in public, they should be identifiable and accountable. So this resolution essentially just supports legislation that would require, again, law enforcement to have visible identification and limit the use of masks or disguises during routine public interactions while still allowing exceptions for safety, undercover work, and high-risk situations. It's just about public trust, really.
Thank you, Councilwoman Baena. All right, with that clarification or explanation, I need a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Councilwoman Rosado Martinez made the motion.
Second.
Councilman Peguero second. With that say, roll a call, Mr. Clerk.
Yes.
Okay. Council President Paguero?
Yes.
Council President Rosado Martinez?
Yes.
Council President Solano?
Yes.
And Council President Pro Tempore Rivas?
Yes. Mission approved.
Thank you all.
Next item in the agenda, Mr. Kerr?
Item on the agenda is going to be hearings and or consideration of claims. The first one we have is for Alisa Charles. She has a claim seeking payment for damage to the door caused by officers answering a call, and the property claim amount is $500. Please say your name for the record.
My name is Alisa Charles.
Welcome to the Central Four City Council.
Okay, this is my first time, so I don't know.
Your address, please.
Yeah. The address is 551 High Street, Central Falls, Rhode Island, 02863.
All right, thank you.
Ma'am, as you state your case to the council, I would just say you have no obligation to disclose any healthcare information about what happened in the situation or any underlying criminal information. You can feel free to say what you want, but we don't want you to have to say anything if you feel uncomfortable.
Okay, I was not at the premises when the incident happened. I was told by my tenants what transpired, and then also I have a video of what transpired, and what I'm seeking is compensation for excessive force. The individual who, I guess, put a call into, I don't know what the police report said, because when I went to get one, I did not receive it, and I was instructed to come here. When I came here, I could not get it, so it was a big, like, runaround situation. So I don't even know what the police report says, truthfully, but I know that the individual did not live in the premises. There wasn't any marks or bruises or anything on the individual that did not reside there. So at that point in time, for them to try to kick down my door when the individual came out the front of the house, because there's two ways of egress, right? The front and the back. So as he was coming down the front, the officer was kicking down the back door. And when he could not kick down the back door in its entirety, the individual, because it's four units in this property, the individual who lived on the first floor opened up the door, and it just was told to get back in your house, get back. Like, it was just, everything was just done, in my opinion, not to a standard that I'm accustomed to or know, because I have a lot of law enforcement people in my family. So with that said, due to the excessive force, the individual was not in the home. She was outside of the home. She did not live at the premises. I felt like at that point in time, they did need to have that type of damage to my property.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good evening, Major Carroll, Central Falls Police. On 213, the officers responded to 551 Hunt Street, third floor. High Street. There were multiple calls for a disturbance on the third floor. As the officers approached the house, female party came out, stated to the officers that she was assaulted by the male party, who apparently resided on the third floor there. At that point, after knocking on the door multiple times, the outer door was locked. Third floor tenant came down, exited. As the officers approached the third floor male party, he then locked the door and ran back upstairs. At that point, the officers, because the female party had already stated that she was assaulted, that means there's going to be an act of arrest for a domestic violence act, the officers forced entry into that doorway. She is absolutely correct that the male party from the third floor came down the front side. But by the time that officers got up to the third floor, they had to force that door also, because the third floor door was also secured. The third floor tenant, male party, ran down the front egress, came outside, slipped on ice, and was then taken into custody by the female officer who was guarding the front door as he exited the building. The male party was subsequently arrested for domestic simple assault and domestic disorderly conduct, and that currently is going through the court system as we speak.
Thank you, Mayor Carroll.
He was released to his own recognizance that same day, so if he was that much of a threat, and it was like he should have stayed in, I'm assuming, in jail. So you can fill me in on that portion of it.
City Solicitor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll address that. So, as the major referred to, in Rhode Island, where there's a material, clear present allegation of domestic assault, there's a requirement under the state law that you arrest the perpetrator. So at the moment where it was clear through allegations and facts on the ground that an assault had occurred, they are under an obligation to arrest that gentleman. And then at that point, because he flees their arrest, it's under an exigent circumstance where they now have to chase him. Now, the question is for us, when we look at the cases of, because as you may imagine, this isn't the first broken down door case we've had involving the police. We get them two or three times a year. The question is, was the door broken in the course of proper police procedure? And in this instance, because an arrest was required, the police were required to find this person and arrest them. They sought to get him to come out. He didn't come out. They sought to get entry. For another way, they couldn't, so they had to break the door down.
Well, I have proof on my phone that the tenant that lives on the first floor literally unlocked the door, but the damage was already done. So in terms of kicking down the door, it did not happen in that, like, I have the marks on the door, but the framing of the door, and then it left all the other tenants that live in that premises unsecured and not safe. So there were three other ways to get in because there's three other tenants seeing it, and I just feel like it was excessive. The individual was outside the house who allegedly was assaulted, and you know, I just feel like as the owner who wasn't even there, and if he came out, and I just don't understand why it escalated to that magnitude to want to kick down the door.
Well, if I can't speak for the police officers, they're not here, but certainly if someone had opened the door for them, they wouldn't have had
the. But someone did open the door for them.
They wouldn't kick down an open door. So you said you have a video of this?
I have a video of the tenant that opened the door, and he was questioning it because he's an ex-cop from New York, and even he thought it was excessive.
Which floor was the door kicked in? The third floor?
No, the door was kicked in on the first floor as well.
Like the entrance.
The main entrance can go to the third floor.
The main entry door as well.
I will certainly, or we can get you a copy of the report before you leave tonight.
I would like that.
I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the report, he comes outside and then sees the police and goes back inside and locks the door behind him, which is why they chased him, because he was fleeing from them. So it doesn't say in the report that they chased him and someone said, oh, I'll open the door for you.
Right. The other thing I was going to say.
But there was the tenant on the first floor who opened the door. And he, of course, it didn't say that, but he was the one on the video asking for the officer's name. He gave the name. He also instructed to, that's why I'm here. Like, I just had surgery. Trust me, I don't want to be here. I just feel like at the end of the day, it was excessive force. I had to pay for something that was excessive. There were four officers on the scene to get one individual for a woman that didn't even live in my premises. Like, she's already outside. If you have to come back, if you have to do whatever you need to do for that individual, she's not in imminent harm. She's not there. She doesn't live there. At that point, tell her to leave my premises. She doesn't live there.
Well, Ms., with all due respect, we have one of the highest rates of domestic violence in the state. We take domestic violence very seriously, and we have obligations under the law. In this particular instance, the officers don't know the history of that particular situation. All they know is they have an allegation of violence, and they have someone up on scene, police, who flees the scene. So at that point, they don't know if that person has a weapon, what kind of weapon, why they're fleeing. They could be going inside to get a gun. So at that point, the officers are doing everything they can to secure the scene, secure all of your other tenants, preserve their own safety. And you know, I think my legal advice to the council is, based on my analysis, the police department acted in accordance with this procedure. Now, you still have discretion to award her claim. I'm just saying that under the law, if she were to file a lawsuit against the city, I don't believe there's a likelihood of success because we followed the protocol. But she makes a compelling case about her status as a property owner, and it's up to you to decide whether to award her any or all or none of her claims. Yeah.
So I've owned this property for over 20 years. I bought it when I was 26, and I've never had any issues. I don't have anything on file with this, and I just want my property just taken care of. Like, I don't condone what happened, nor do I know exactly what happened because I wasn't there. So, you know, all I want is to be compensated for the excessive force that was used to break down the door that still they could not penetrate and get in if the person on the first floor didn't unlock it.
Is there a protocol around knocking on doors before, like,
police department?
Yeah, no, I understand. The reason I ask is because, mm-hmm. you know, with all due respect, like, you keep mentioning that the first floor person opened the door.
Yeah, because they rang his bell. They rang his bell. So that's how he knew to come out to unlock the door.
The officers that night did knock on the door to try to get someone in. The officer did kick the door, fortunately, because it would cause a lot more damage, the frame did not get wet. That's why your tenant came out, because they heard the banging.
Right, that's when he unlocked the door.
It's not excessive, it's within compliance of every single domestic violence case we've had in regards to people running from our officers. Nobody wants to kick your doors in, doesn't want to kick in anybody's door for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately in this situation, because your tenant, who, even though ran from us the first time, went up the front, up back stairwell, locked the door, he was actively fleeing, trying to get away from the officers because he went off the front door, and the officers were going up the back door. So the tenant, in my opinion, your argument should be with your tenant.
Yeah.
For the mere fact mm-hmm. that I'm sure as a landlord at some mm-hmm. point you have collected first, last,
you need to pay them.
Security deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Your
yeah.
tenant
mm-hmm.
caused us to go, unfortunately,
yes. mm-hmm.
we were brought to your property
yeah.
based on the actions of your tenant. And we would not have been there if other people had not called because of the assault.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, I don't have the police report. I'm just going by the video that I have and
okay.
what was said, you know. All
right.
Is that something we can review? The video. I don't know.
Yeah, you
I
can
mean,
take anything into consideration that you want.
I think with the Mayor Carroll say, you know, with the all explanation by the owner, by the city solicitor, by the police department, is this matter going directly to the tenant?
I'm confused a little bit. When you're saying that you have a video that police broke the door.
Well, I have a video of the tenant
okay, yeah.
that they spoke with.
And they're saying the person came in after the fact they broke the door, so the door was open.
No, there was
a sound like
that. The police was kicking in the door. The first floor tenant opened the door at that point.
Okay.
And they have the video of them, like, unlocking the door.
Well, and the discussion of the tenant talking to the officers that were on duty in terms of the damage, because at that point, you know, everyone's livelihood was at risk because
right.
the door couldn't close, right? So that's why I'm here. You know?
All right.
So,
you also put in your homeowner's insurance. This is not
well,
something.
Well, that's what was
requested.
This is all, right. This is all something new to me. As I said, I've
yeah.
owned this property for over 20 years and I've never had anything
yeah.
like this before. So even like the protocols of what to do, where to go,
yes.
is all new to me.
Yeah,
right?
we understand.
So I'm just doing what was said, hey, Alyssa, we need this, we need that, we need, you know, so.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Because I didn't want to come. I told him I was having surgery.
I know.
It's still on the docket today, so.
I hope.
Sorry about that.
Soon recovery for you. And thank you for your time. With the all parts say, I suggest how the police department mentioned, you need to go directly to do the claim made to the tenant for this matter. Anyone want to say something?
That you had a conversation with your tenant in regard of what happened?
I did have a conversation with the tenant, and I told him that I no longer want that other person or individual who caused all of this scene to be at the premises. And if failure to do so, I would have to move forward with an eviction because I don't want any type of drama
yeah.
at my premises. I've never had it, and I don't condone it. And that's not something that I want in my property.
Mr. Solicitor and colleagues, I wonder if would it make sense to just sort of put this on hold really quickly as we hear the other one so she can look at the police report? Because I think you're missing context. I haven't seen the police report.
And
it's
nor
not,
did I get it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's not really making sense in your head
yet.
A lot of this
doesn't make sense.
So if it, would we be able to do something like that so she could see the police report? Maybe that'll help help you understand mm-hmm. a little bit more of why we're taking this position right now.
Okay.
Would that?
Yeah, I can get it in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so I would make the motion to just table this to after the item.
Okay, and we can go to the next item.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item in the agenda.
Item B under claims on the agenda is Heather Brunelli, resident of Central Falls, Rhode Island. It's the claim for allegedly she had a fault as a result of ice on the sidewalk, claim amount unknown.
Okay. He's here?
Google comment, no?
No, you don't hear?
Is someone here on behalf of Ms. Brunelli?
No? Okay. No, nobody from nobody here for him. Okay, just I review the claim. This happened in one private property sidewalk, not by the city property sidewalk. Correct? Right?
Based on the picture, that's what it seems like.
The house property, yeah, from the house. Not any city property by park, sidewalk,
yeah, it
school.
Looks like it was like the driveway area of 39 and 41 Perry Street.
Yeah, with this image, he needed going directly to the homeowner, not to the city. Of course, this is good to bring to us because we can, you know, go to the homeowner to enforcement, they need to care more the sidewalk.
Yeah, part of that was one of my questions, and it was to see if there had been any citations issued to this property as it pertained to their sidewalks in the past. Just because part of the notice that we received by Ms. Brunelli's attorney was that it said we failed to inspect. And so I just wanted to flag that for us.
Let's wait for the city solicitor to come back.
Yes, I will wait for this solicitor to come back. But I can also make sure to look into past citations issued to the property owner in question.
Also, Mr. President Pro Tem, I wonder if it would make sense to just table to our next meeting, just because there's no one here on her behalf. And you know, it's usual practice for us to table things when people aren't here.
Time to the city to check with them. They follow the protocols. So they send a letter to enforcement to the property owners. Okay,
right. I'll make the motion to table.
Okay, Council Woman Rosa Martini made the motion, Council Baena second for tabling for the next council meeting in April. With that said, please roll call.
Councilman Baena?
Yes.
Councilman Solicitor?
Yes.
Councilman Rosa Martini?
Yes.
Councilperson Figueroa?
Yes.
Councilperson Rosado Martinez?
Yes.
Councilperson Solano?
Yes.
And Council President Pro Tem Rivas Lugo?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 6-0.
Mr. Solicitor, just FYI, we tabled Ms. Brunelli's.
The last one.
If you wouldn't mind reconsidering that is an official referral to the trust.
Ah.
Okay, perfect.
The teacher at Calcutt had a slip and fall that matters in excess of our deductible.
Okay.
You just need to refer to the trust, so.
Okay, maybe they changed the history.
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
So should we reverse?
Reverse?
You can just do whoever made the motion, do a motion to reconsider, second it, all in favor, and then now that it's back in front of you, then do a motion to refer to the trust.
Okay. I'll make the motion to reverse. To reconsider.
To reconsider.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Rosa Martinez made the motion. Councilwoman Baena second. Please roll call. Okay.
Councilperson Baena?
Yes.
Councilperson Kazarian?
Yes.
Councilperson
Figueroa? Yes.
Councilperson Rosado Martinez?
Yes.
Councilperson Solano?
Yes.
Council President Pro Tempore Rivas
Lugo? Yes.
Okay.
Pass. Okay.
Passes 6-0.
Now I need a motion for reconsidering for the trust insurance?
A motion to refer to the trust.
Motion to refer to the trust.
Well, I made a motion to refer to the trust.
Yeah.
Second.
Motion presented by Councilwoman Rosa Martinez, second by Councilwoman Baena. We all say, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Perfect. Thank you. Now we can come back to the claim. Me perdió la agenda, me. For Ms. Alicia Schartz. Perfect, don't worry. Take your time. Just I want to say something for the records by clarification, because you know, everything the police department explained to us, the city 030 and you by the homeowner, I suggest pay you $250, because we understand maybe you don't receive the police report on time, you don't understand or the protocol you need to follow, and we find, we understand, and we give the people to the opportunity for first time how they know all the protocol and all the process. That's the suggestion I have for my colleagues. You know, pay the half of the money that you request. For $500, we want a request to my colleagues support the $250.
After reviewing the report, do you have any questions?
I definitely have questions, but you won't be able to answer
right.
it.
Yes.
Want to know.
Absolutely.
I just read that retrieving, so that means somebody shouldn't have been having items in
okay.
a property that they're not on the lease for.
No.
So I have questions that none of you in here would be able
well,
to
hopefully
okay.
that
I hope
a little
yes,
bit.
I hope
yes,
I
yes.
hope get this question for you
to the officer,
be answered for you soon.
He told me other things as well.
Yeah.
So
that's a good conversation.
Yes, and always I say this, we are here by city, by consumers, by consumers to helping our resident
mm-hmm.
by the law. And for that, I suggest, you know, pay you the half of the $500
okay.
because now you have more clarification with everything.
Yes. Thank you.
So
okay.
I would make the motion to pay the $250 out of the $500 you're requesting.
Second.
And hopefully you get some clarity from
I'm
your people.
Right.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Police Department, City 030. And you, Ms. Alicia, for your time. Okay.
We have to vote.
Councilman made the motion. Councilwoman Baena made the motion. Who second? Councilman Peguero second. With that say, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And thank you. I hope you have all your questions.
Thank you.
John's clarify soon. Okay, I need a motion to adjustment. Councilman Solano made the motion.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Rosa Martinez second. With that say, this meeting concludes at 7:09. Thank you so much, everyone. I want to do the more fast if I can. You need to go? You need to go? You need to go?
Yeah, go where?
Oh, I need to go. I need fast.
I need to go get a picture taken.
I want to try to do my fast, the more fast if I can. Be sure they I remember that school,
yes.
that school day, remember?
You gotta go after the tenant. It's not our responsibility. You're doing their job.
It's not responsibility.
You know?
For that,
but
like,
it's nice you gave her something.
She was in the beginning, I said, no, but
I felt bad.
I feel bad because
yeah.
it's actually.
Yeah,
yeah. I say. No, no. Yo primero dije, no voy a darle nada, pero dije, me escuché como bien malo, ¿verdad? ¿Qué?
No, está bien.
Me pongo cruel.
Ay, no.
I'm okay.
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 Yo voy a tirar la foto.
And then I'm gonna get pictures for the council photos as well.
Inside, as you walk in, is a
Let me move the chairs out of the way.
On my side, guys, if you want to set up.
¿Y quién saca aquella? La movemos.
Yeah.
Dame una mi rapidito. Yo te voy a mandar la mía, pero por si acaso.
Okay.
Ya me puedo ir. Otra más.
¿Y cómo queda? I'll send those to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Let me see.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the same thing. I don't know what I'm talking
about. Bye, have a good night. Thank you. You're tall. Yeah, don't do that.
Covering the whole thing.
I know, your whole thing.
Well, I can stand off to the like, side.
No, I was kidding.
I can do
that. I'm like, oh, actually, that doesn't look bad, honestly. Yeah. That looks nice. Yeah. That actually looks nice. That was a good idea. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll send them to you to make sure you guys like them. Next?
Okay. Go ahead.
Whoever wants to be next.
She's like, next. I'm the official photographer.
Hold on, I'll do lighting. I'll cover lighting.
I'm crying.
Can you take another one on the other side
yes.
to see
okay,
what side?
Just in case.
You know what is my side?
Okay.
Get the angle.
Yep. I am okay with that. All right. Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay.
The tallest one.
The body que yo fuera Gian.
Can I see them?
Yes. Because
sometimes I feel like my eyes be like this look. Like just mad open.
So this angle.
Okay.
I like this one.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
It looks good.
Do you want me to take another one?
Can I just see my
Do you
face?
Have any filters that you can add?
Yeah, I can mess with the lighting and stuff to make sure you
no,
like it looks good.
It looks okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Good?
Yeah.
Do you like this one? So I can heart it?
Oh, I have to pick one?
Oh, I can send it to you later.
Oh, look at me. No, I'm scared. Yeah, like this one's nice. Okay.
Sometimes
and then,
it's tough getting a good picture sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's like the lighting and, you know.
I'm going to mess with the lighting a little bit too to make sure.
Can I want to see...
my glasses.
Ah, si ve, yo le dije.
Oh, maybe take.
That's why I like to take them off because they feel like the light hits it. I'm like, where's my purse?
Sorry, we set up a photo display here. Yes. Okay.
Have a good night. Thank you.
I like that they're all gonna be in this seal because we're all different.
Yeah.
Like somewhere when we first got sworn in.
Look okay?
Yeah. Thanks. Good. Okay.
My eyebrows. Did
I miss anyone? Oh yeah, I didn't do my eyebrows.
I didn't miss anyone.
Right after the storm.